Yeah. You ready? Let's do it.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready. I wasn't ready for the right breaking news, but hello everyone. Yeah, welcome to the Final Play podcast. As we were saying, late breaking news, Todd Payton, I guess, has apparently set his sights possibly on the Cowboys job after he's knocked back the Warriors offer.
Yeah, that was I guess a little unexpected, I suppose. I think he was definitely in with a decent shot at taking the Warriors job. There was rumors and speculation even a couple of weeks ago that maybe the Walker brothers could possibly take on the role over there at the Warriors for 1 year, just as a prove it to me year. The Warriors shot that down fairly quickly. I guess that they'd had Todd Payton, I guess, penciled in for this job. And he, yeah, like we've read and seen on TV, he's knocked it back for family reasons. Sort of come out and said that it's not quite his time. He still has 12 months to go on his contract. So whoever takes over the Warriors job, he will still be an assistant under them. Like, he's still contracted. So he said that he will still be an assistant.
Really? That's interesting.
He's basically come out and said, look, you know, whoever takes over the job here, they'll get 1 year of, you know, basically an NRL ready coach as an assistant. So he doesn't want to renege on that. But in saying that, like you said, he's in line for the Cowboys job. So what happens there? If he gets the Cowboys job, is he able to get out of his contract with the Warriors?
He's probably just, to me, it sounds like he's just saying the right things. So then if he says the right things and he gets a Cowboys job offer, then, you know, they might sort of grant him some leniency. He said why he's turning it down, which is family reasons. So that'll pull at the heartstrings, so to speak. And then saying the right things that he could stay there if he needs to. So I don't think.
No, that's right. He's hedging his bets, which is
well,
smart
it is.
To do.
It is hedging his bets.
So if he doesn't get the North Queensland job, and apparently that's been narrowed down to three people, not 100% sure who the three people are. Maybe Todd Payton is part of that three-person group. I could only assume that that Kevy Walters will be a part of that, and supposedly the Cowboys are looking. I think we might have even said this last week, are looking at Jason Riles, but Jason Riles hasn't expressed interest in the Cowboys job as of yet. So for me personally, being a Cowboys supporter, I wouldn't be looking too much into Jason Riles. If he hasn't come out and said that he's interested in the job, then I wouldn't look into pursuing him at all. That's just me personally. If he has expressed interest.
Yeah. Well, Todd's also he has been an assistant coach at the Cowboys too, so he knows a lot of the young players that are coming through. So you could say it's tailor made for him, but it depends really what the Cowboys are looking for.
That's right. Yeah, are they looking for do they want a developmental coach, you know, a la somebody like Nathan Brown? Do they want a defensive-minded coach, which I personally believe that they should 100% get, someone like a Jeff Tuvey or an Anthony Griffin? Or do they want somebody, whether they can work with the young talent, whether it's Todd Payton, whether it's Kevy Walters? Apparently David Fairley's name was thrown in there as well. He's a former assistant up here. So it's interesting a way that they could go. Like I said, me, once again, that's just me personally. I think they could use a real hands-on approach defensively. And, I think that's really only two coaches that are out there.
I mean, we also don't know what Todd Payton's about. We're only speculating that he's about getting the young guys through. But he probably is the defensive-minded coach. I mean, he's taken on a makeshift Warriors side and still got two wins out of six games and, you know, in terrible, terrible environments for him. So that has to bode well for him as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And even if that's, I mean, even if he doesn't get the North Queensland job, then you know that will look, that will be good for him in the coming years to say that, yeah, he was essentially, you know, just dumped in this job here for the Warriors, and have a look at the job that he's done for the rest of the year. So hopefully he sort of has success, you know, or relative success for the rest of the year. And that'll only bode well for him, his employment prospects in the future.
We'll move on to round 12 of the NRL. The Thursday night game started off with the Dragons and Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs end up coming away with the win, 32-24.
I guess the first few games of this round were very non-defensive based. This one sort of kicked off the round. Very, very attacking wise. You know, early tries for St. George Illawarra. I think it was 2 to Dufty and 1 to Aiken in the first, it was a 16-17 minutes. And they looked really good, exposing South's right side defense. All the tries came down that side, like the Dragons attacking left hand side, and looked good, and looked like they were breaking them at will. So I think sort of, yeah, things looked positive. The only thing, yeah, with that, I guess sort of early on, the only thing that was keeping South in the game was just penalties by the Dragons. They just couldn't get out of their own way in giving away penalties and just giving South a leg up out of their own half. Like they were trying to do the tough yards, and St. George are giving away silly penalties and just giving them easy yardage out of their own half.
Yeah. That's how I sort of took that, is that they basically let them back in the game.
100%.
It just, I don't know. The Dragons, they did the same thing last week. They started with the ball on fire, like you said, 3 tries in the first 15 minutes, 2 to Dufty and 1 to Ewan Aiken. And then I guess they just sort of, I wouldn't say slowed the pedal, but they just let them back in with silly errors, silly penalties, things like that. So,
well, flip the script, you know what I mean? Like it was those penalties keeping South in the game. Yeah. Then they really started to click. In attack, which is, I think, as of recent weeks, has been South's problem. They haven't been able to sort of get in games early, and if they have, they're letting teams get back, you know, even or take the lead again, and they're having to do everything so late in the game, which isn't great. And the other thing is, too, like, you know, Adam Reynolds got hurt in the 8th minute, so they were essentially without their halfback for 72 minutes of the game. And for them to sort of put together the attack that they did, it ended up being 16 all at half time. The intercept try for Alex Johnston, it just just sort of really turned the momentum around in South's favor. The Cody Walker try was brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant footwork by him. To step back on the inside and then step back on the inside again, burnt 3 defenders, and gets over the line. And for them to be 16 all at half time, I think Souths are pretty lucky.
Yeah, I just think it was obviously one of Cody Walker's better games. He looked like he was in touch with the team. I don't know. I guess he's just sort of been personally. I don't know. I guess he hasn't been offensively minded this year. He hasn't been with the ball.
Well, he sort of got thrust into this as well, you know, obviously with Adam Reynolds going down. So he's been essentially thrown into that primary playmaker. And he's as big a running threat in the league that there is. He's got terrific footwork. He's very, very elusive. And, you know, for him to sort of step up in that moment with the game, not so much the game on the line, but with Adam Reynolds going down and basically South had to channel most of their attack through guys like Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. Damien Cook was sort of was ripping him to shreds, especially in that second half. He's starting to look like he's a bit more comfortable now. With the the new six to go, you know, six again rules. He's really looking like he's, it's taken him a little while, but he's really looking like he's starting to come into his own.
He's a player that should be exposing that. He's so quick off the mark.
Exactly.
So I'm surprised you're right. It took him so long to expose it. It's taken him so long.
Exactly.
Alex Johnson had a wow of a game, over 300 meters.
That's right. Two intercept tries.
Yeah.
You end up getting a hat trick. It was just one of those.
He got two line breaks.
One of those games for him that, you know, many years ago, but a few years ago, sort of touted him as one of the better wingers in the competition when he first come in into first grade. You know, he made a real impact when he first come in as a youngster into that South side, and it looks like he may actually be getting squeezed out just
when
through
he's on the outer. Exactly. Yeah, that's
which is a bit fortunate for him.
Yeah, I mean. I don't think it's on his fault of anything. I just think it's just obviously they've just got an influx of centers and wingers. When they signed the trail, I think that sort of was the writing on the wall for him. They've got if they could possibly get rid of Gay Guy, then maybe he could sort of stay there because they still got Jimmy. So James Roberts. So they just
That's right. Well, he's done for the season. So
But I'm just saying going forward.
Yeah, but
in
that's
general,
right. Well, that essentially opens up the slot for him. And me personally, I like Dane Gagai at centre. I think he's wasted on the wing, and he's a good winger, and he's a good representative winger. But in first grade, the more times he touches the ball, the better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. But it's funny, when he's going from a representative side. When you see him playing in the representative games, he I don't know, just that wing – maybe he just makes it work, but he seems to make it work brilliantly.
No, that's right. And I think that sort of gives people sort of that false narrative of like, oh, well, he's a winger, right? Like he's a winger. But as a first grade player, he's absolutely a center. Like when the couple of years that he had at Newcastle playing at left center, he was when Newcastle were going absolutely terrible, he was by far their shining light there. Playing at centre, he was just trying to get involved in everything. It just, to me, I think he's wasted a little bit out on the wing. You can get away with that in representative football, but he needs to get his hands more on the ball. Whether it's in attack or coming out of his own end, he's a powerful runner.
And he's a great defensive player too. So
that's right, yeah, you don't see much get past him.
No, that's right. It's someone like exactly say the Cowboys that could use him big time in the center position. Well, they could, but yeah, good win by South. The first Friday game was the Warriors getting over the Tigers, 26-20.
A boil over.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially started after off, West again, once again, sort of getting off to a super fast start.
Yeah.
You know, getting tries early. It just you can take it as what you will from that first game. You know, the team that starts fast has essentially let the opposition get back into the side and into the game and not capitalizing on those early points.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I sort of took exactly how I took the game because they were 14-8 up at half time, Tigers, and I thought, okay. You know, Warriors were staying in it, but I thought the Tigers could possibly run away with it. But, I mean, for me, it's just the person that stood out was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He just, I don't know, he's being that sort of guy that has to sort of stand up because there's nobody else there.
He has to be a standout there every week. Like, that's...
Unfortunately.
That's the pressure, I guess, that he puts on himself too. You know, he knows how good he is, and he's got to be... that superstar, and he's got to be a superstar plus some, you know, inside like the Warriors. So look, that they got a lot more. No, that's right. Yeah, I think they're lacking a little bit up front. I think the Warriors, they've got their two gigantic wingers in Fusatura and Ken Mamalu. Obviously, they're not there at the moment, but they've got their two strike weapons on the wings. And this is another thing that Todd Payton has sort of come out and said, they're a little thin up front. And they're also sort of missing, you know, somebody along the lines of a strike center. So,
yeah, I would agree with that.
I think that they're going to be another team that I think will be looking for a more progressive dummy half as well, I think. Yeah, nothing against sort of Kane Lawton and Wade Egan, they need that more dynamic sort of dummy half to get them on the front foot a lot more often.
And they clearly have the money coming because it looks like from everything I've seen, and even in this game, Adam Blair's definitely on the outer there.
He is definitely on the outer there.
He only played 20 minutes in that game, and he's chewing up about 800 grand a year there. So, but he's funny. He's been on that sort of – he's always been lucky getting those contracts. Even when he was at Broncos, I thought that overpaid. But he can have those rare, brilliant games and then just sort of go away. But no one really talks about how bad he's playing, like Darius Boyd is an example.
That's right. When I noticed that, like with Adam Blair, as soon as he left Melbourne and went to the West Tigers, like he was just an absolute shell of the player that he was at Melbourne. And then he went to Brisbane. I thought he got a little bit better, but he got a little bit of mongrel in his game. He liked to target the kickers, and to his own and the team's detriment. That wasn't terrific because he gave away a lot of penalties. So I think that sort of junk sort of started to creep into his game, and he hasn't really gotten rid of it.
Mm-mm. He has a little bit. He's got a little bit away from it, but clearly they just can't see the value in Adam Blair. No, I don't think. I mean, he's 34, unfortunately, which doesn't mean just an age.
No, it doesn't mean much as long as you can still have impact and influence, I guess, on the game. Then you know, like that's right. Look at Cameron Smith. So,
I
think you're right in that sort of, in that sort of part. But you know, the Warriors are definitely sort of ticking the boxes, getting better. Obviously, probably not so much defensively in this game, although their defensive second half was terrific. And, you know, putting on as many points as what they did to get back in the game, take the lead. West sort of come back. I think it was a Tommy Talau try sort of at the end, which gave us a bit of a grandstand finish, made it 26-20, which would end up being the full-time score. I think West just sort of clocked off a little bit too long, and it just took them too long to sort of wrestle their way back into the game, and the Warriors, they pretty much shut them out.
Yeah, and that's all credit to them because they haven't been out of shutout games at all. Well, they haven't really been in games as well, so to speak. But full credit to the Warriors, definitely.
No, exactly. They played, you know, even in the first half, they weren't terrible. They just didn't have the opportunities that the Tigers did. And when the opportunities presented themselves in the second half, they grabbed them with both hands.
The other Friday game was the Sharks and the Broncos at Suncorp.
Look, this was heart attack material. This game.
Oh, my God. It was. The Broncos went down 36-26, had every chance of winning that game. But again, as they did last week, in that last sort of 20 minutes, or they'd probably even say 15 minutes, they capitulated.
Yeah, no, that's it. They gagged away, a 10-point lead, and it turned into a 10-point loss. I thought they, they looked a lot better with Boyd at one, Milford and Dearden in the halves. I think that could be is that the combination that Seabold is looking for in the halves? It looked a lot more sort of coherent. Yeah, but Boyd got a lot more involved attacking wise, especially compared to last week with Milford being at one. Boyd sort of put on a couple of tries. Like to say he put on a couple of tries, he threw the last pass. But that's the way that he sort of plays, especially in that fullback role. I think he's a lot more comfortable there. He's not a vocal person sort of off the field, but I think on the field, I think he's that sort of that vocal, that voice that they need, especially at the back.
And
it really paid dividends for him you know, late in that first half. Yeah, Brisbane ended up, especially in the first half, Brisbane ended up having like 60% of possession.
Oh, yeah. And
second phase for Brisbane was killing Cronulla. Cronulla could not wrap up the ball. Yeah. There was like 10 offloads to 2 in that first half. And it was just, it was killing Cronulla. Even in the second half, not so much in the first, as much as the first half. But yeah, just Cronulla, that they just could not wrap up the ball.
No. And I thought in the back of that, I guess that was just off the back foot. Well, for me, who stood out was Katoni Staggs and just how well he was playing.
Oh, my God. He had an absolute wow of a game. And he sat on my fantasy bench, scored 120 points that I was none too pleased about. But he is a baller. I really like Katoni Staggs.
Well, and that's the kind of thing, I guess, that look, the Broncos are losing, but that's the kind of things that Seibold wanted to put in place to get these young guys through. I mean, look, talk about Tommy Didden. He didn't have to do much in that game. He just had to sort of defend, which he definitely did, and sort of stand and pass because Milford and Darius Boyd did the rest. But
that's right.
That's probably one thing that I guess the Broncos haven't got credit for, purely because of how the season they have, is that, you know, Seibold has brought some young guys through, because he has. He really has.
That's what a young half has got to sit back and do and watch those experienced players do the things that they do, and he can learn from that.
Yeah. I mean, it was great for the Sharks to come back. It was all, you know, full credit to him, but it was just a defensive lapse. That was pretty much that I took. I mean, offensively, like you said, they looked great. That's the first time this year the Broncos have looked great offensively. Defensively was okay up until that last 20.
Up until that last 10, and Cronulla had the dropout. I think it might have been like 11 minutes to go. They had a dropout. It was, I guess, in the middle, probably went about 30-odd metres, and Wade Graham just bolted out of the line. The ball bounced, which was, you know, once again, to Brisbane's detriment. Just somebody's got to take that on the full. The ball bounces. Yeah. Bounces absolutely perfect for Wade Graham, and he gets the ball back. That starts the rot for the Broncos, and that's where it all sort of starts to go wrong, that whether or not they sort of, not so much drop their head, but confidence sort of went out, and their balloon started to get a bit deflated, and as soon as they scored, and then that was it. Like, they knew that the Sharks were coming for them, and they just didn't quite have the gas in the tank, I guess, to sort of keep them out. It was just, it's just that an avalanche, three tries in 9 minutes at the end of the game.
I mean, the last one was a bit of a, how you going? But, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, they just dropped the ball. It's like, I can't even pick what really happened. Like, how their defensive lap
just happened. I think a lot of it was just, I think, effort and experience, I think.
Probably confidence, too.
Yeah, with Cronulla. The young kid, Connor Tracy, that he started on the bench, but he come in and is basically the fill-in for Chad Townsend, who's out for, I think he's out for 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. So he's most likely going to be that fill-in there at number. He was named at number 7, but they brought in another young lad as well. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, who actually started the game there at halfback. But, you might be able to find that for us. But
Trindle.
That's right. Yeah, that's him, Trindle. They sort of shuffled those guys around. But when Tracy come on, he looked really good. That effort play from Wade Graham on the dropout.
Yeah.
And they said it on the call. It's just like that's the kind of thing that turns games, and it absolutely turned the game in Cronulla's favour. The other thing that also turned it in Cronulla's favour was the shoddy workmanship on their jerseys. That first try by Molitani, not to say that it shouldn't have been a try, but he took the loose ball, started to run, he had a gigantic smile on his face, and all of a sudden he sees big Thomas Flegler chasing him, catching him, and then he's like, uh-oh. And this is a winger being run down by a front rower.
Yeah.
Flegler grabs his collar and tries to sort of rip him down by the jersey, and then the jersey decides to rip, and he goes over for the try. So, like, that was Cronulla's first try. And he said, yeah, so Molitani seemed pretty pleased with himself. So, you know, sort of big ups to the manufacturers there of the Cronulla jerseys, doing what needs to be done to get the win.
Well, that's true, to get the win.
Like, that was unbelievable. You could see his facial expression change so quickly when he realized, uh-oh, this big guy's catching me.
Because, you know, Thomas Flegler is a massive human being.
He is a unit.
He is massive. That's awesome. I guess for Broncos, they were in it. It's just, yeah, capitulation at the end. The reason I'm saying that...
The last couple of weeks, they've been a lot more competitive.
Yeah, they have. But the whole reason I was tying it into the next game, that unfortunately the Titans were definitely into the game against the Roosters.
Man, they just...
They were so into that game. Unfortunately, they went down 18-12. I think we text about this. I think the Simbins didn't help them. Killed them. Yeah. Brian Kelly's at the start, because they were still in it at half time, but it was that Keegan Hipgraves 46-minute one.
That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And once again, like, you know, it, as we sort of go back to with the previous weeks, all throughout this year, you just can't give the Roosters opportunities. Like, you've got to be like the Bulldogs, especially over the last couple of weeks. You're going to have a high completion rate, especially against the classy sides like that. And even though the Roosters weren't at the top of their game, you know, the Gold Coast really took it to them. They were in it right up to their eyeballs. And it's just the silly sin bins. The Keegan Hipgrave one was a shocker. Like, just a shocker. This didn't need to happen. And they're doing the same things as what they have over the last few weeks. Just, I guess, a little bit of lack of composure. They know they're in the game, and they just got to be patient. And I guess the Roosters can sort of pressure you into, you know, thinking, you know, they've got such good defense that they're like, well, we've got to try and take these opportunities, and they blunder them.
Yeah. In saying that, the Roosters, and I'm not saying it's because it was against the Titans, but they just had it doesn't matter who it was, they had an all-around poor game. Their completion rate was terrible. Well, I guess for the Roosters, only 79%. But they just... Well, that's true. You could just tell that they were worried. They just did not expect to be the Titans to be only down by four at half time.
No, that's right.
And the
uncanny thing about it was really that it was two tries apiece.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was the three penalty goals that the Roosters took that has essentially put them over the line. And who's to say, you know, out of, you know, the three times that they took the penalty goal, who's to say that they might not have scored, in those sets after if they took a tap? Is that a credit? They're trying to get the win by any means necessary. Is that a credit to how well the Gold Coast scrambled and actually shut them out?
I think, because really those two of the penalty tries, well, one was definitely off Brian Kelly's sin bin. But even Keegan's sin bin sort of set that up as well. So 100%. It was unfortunate the Gold Coast to lose.
Yeah, errors and penalties hurt, but just where they gave them up, it's just they're killers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Did you like Anthony Donner fullback?
Look, he's the best option there.
Yeah, okay.
He can sort of fill in multiple positions. I'd like to see him stay in the fullback role.
Yeah.
And just sort of give them a little bit of, he's got that X factor. Just to sort of give them a little bit of continuity. You know, nothing against Corey Thompson, who they brought in from the Tigers. It kind of sucks that he's sort of been thrown by the wayside now. That AJ Brimson is back. keeping that same squad together, I think, will only help them. If they can sort of, I really like Nathan Peets. I think they should sort of stick with him at dummy half. I think he's their best option that they've got.
I think it's who they've got. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's their best option. A bit of stability at dummy half, even though he's probably not in the greatest of form. But you've got to try and keep that spine and have that continuity there. So if they keep Fogarty and Taylor in the halves, AJ Brimson at fullback, and Peets at a dummy half, hopefully, injury free for the rest of the year. I think it's gonna bode really well for them in the long run.
I like, I thought Brian Kelly had a really good game. I like him at centre. He's
really good. He's
young.
Becoming less inconsistent.
Yeah.
The first couple of years that he was at the Gold Coast, he was super inconsistent, but he's getting a lot better with consistency on how he sort of has his game. He's not having as many bad games as what he would good. So, I think he's fit in well there in that team system as well.
Next game, unfortunately, another Queensland side went down only by two. The Cowboys lost to the Raiders 12-14. I'm just watching your face.
Well, look, as I told you last week, I'm getting a sore neck from shaking my head.
They played better this game, but
no, that's not. Look, you could see the intent was there this week. Yeah. The intent and effort was there. Once again, it comes down to a little bit of lack of polish. Unfortunately,
center defense as well. Again,
well, they were a lot better.
Defensively.
Especially in recent weeks, defensively, they've just been a horror show. Look, they got off to the right start, with Robson sort of scoring fairly early, a pretty soft try at a dummy half.
Great player.
He had a bit of a lull, once they sort of come back from the restart. His dummy half play sort of let him down a little bit, but he's the future there at dummy half. They're obviously going to have to stick with him. I thought attacking wise they were extremely one dimensional, and that's through no fault of anybody else's, but through injury. Everything had to go through Jake Clifford, and that was totally to their detriment. They just became too predictable. Even when Asiata come on, you could sort of see that he freed up a little bit. He's that ball playing forward. Unfortunately, he got sort of hurt at the end of the game, and then bravely came back on with his knee essentially strapped up straight. But he came back on, which is big ups to him. But it just comes down to execution. Canberra kept them in the game long enough. They were classy enough to get the win.
They were lucky. It just felt a little bit, I wouldn't say lucky, but they were lucky to sort of be in that game and then to sort of win, I guess. They're the kind of games, if Canberra's going to do anything this year, that, and this is not against your team, but they should be, easily beating the Cowboys. In that win. That's not knocking the Cowboys at all. The Cowboys played great in that game. But we probably said this earlier in recent weeks, but I don't think the Raiders, if they keep playing like that, they're not going to be make a dent in that finals at all.
No, that's right. They'll sneak in to the eight.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not going to make any noise. It's sort of come down, the Cowboys are sort of in there, right in it, right up until the end of the game. In that last 15 minutes, there was three occasions where they had good attacking possession, and Clifford trying to kick through the line actually hits a defender, and you don't even get a chance to sort of have to put pressure on, either with a dropout or making them earn it off their own line. A couple of times I thought Rapana did really well at fullback positionally.
Mm-hmm.
Too, once again, it just comes down to the one-dimensional play that they basically had to do. And they've gone sort of into games, especially in the previous 2 weeks, with a plan on the right hand side, a Clifford chip kick to Kyle Feld, and that just hasn't bared fruit at all. Like, I think they've gone to that play. I think last week they went to that play 4 or 5 times. It resulted in 1 try. The same thing happened this week, resulted in 0 tries. So yeah. I guess that all comes down to game planning, and that also comes down to personnel as well.
It's the one-dimensional stuff, as well, that you've been talking about, the one-dimensional players.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's, once again, that's through no fault of their own, but purely through injury. You know, the Dejean Assi was out this game. They had Ben Hampton play at 5'8". He's not really a 5'8". You know, Michael Morgan's obviously hurt. With a bit of luck, Morgan will be back next week. A couple of times, Justin O'Neill, again, found wanting in defense. I pray to the man above that Tom Opacek is healthy next week, and there'll be no more Justin O'Neill. Love him to death. You know, part of the 2 grand final sides, but he's just been found wanting a little bit too much this year. He's a little bit, you know, he's not one step too slow. He's 2 steps too slow. He's coming out of the line too quickly, and he's being scorched on the outside. So, it just comes down to personnel. Once they get some troops back, then, you know, hopefully they can be a bit more competitive.
Next game was the Panthers, obliterating the Seagulls 42-12. Panthers easily are just, I mean, they're one of the premiership heavyweights this year.
Just class, and more class.
Extreme class. Manly, I could not find, Manly didn't do one thing that I liked. They were terrible in completion rate. They didn't have much ball. Their errors were just, it was only 11-8 in errors, but God, they were terrible. I can't pick why, but they were just terrible.
Oh, I guess, whether or not it just comes down to, you know, just pressure-wise, you know, they'll just put on the blowtorch by Penrith, and they, not to say that they crumbled under the pressure, but they just couldn't get anything going. Dylan Walker had played his first minutes of football in 6 weeks, lasted 8 minutes, and has gone off, and now it looks like he's got a fractured foot. So I guess they were sort of hoping for him to slide straight back in and be a little bit more, you know, sort of have a little bit more variety in attack. Now they're going to have to go back to they're going to have to go back to last week's man of the match in Cade Cust against the Cowboys. Like he had a wow of a game last week against North Queensland. Wasn't even in the side this week. And now I'd say he's going to go straight back into the number 6 jumper alongside Cherry Evans for the coming weeks, now that Dylan Walker is going to be gone for, who's to say, 4 to 6 weeks.
Nathan Cleary was clearly just a class above everybody on that game. It wasn't just the try that he got. It was just the line break assist, everything. Like, every time he touched the ball, it either looked like he was going to score or the Manly were going to score. He was absolutely phenomenal.
He was great. Look, you know, their 1-2 punch up front, James Fisher-Harris, Jimmy Tamo, you know, once again, massive. Moses Leota was good off the bench too. He gave him 18 hit ups, 144 meters.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was big for them as well, to have that extra hit off the bench as well. So, you know, they're rolling along. They're not so much they're making it look easy, but, you know, against sort of the sides that they should be beating, apart from, I guess, a blip on the radar last week against the Gold Coast, they're beating the teams that they should. And they had this game well in hand, and, you know, sort of had it in hand comfortably.
And there's certain players, like their centre pairing of Stephen Crichton and Brent Naden, they're only 24 and 19 respectively,
has been great.
Well, they've been sort of a makeshift sort of this year, but exactly. They have been, even Brett Naden, they both have been phenomenal. Brett Naden ended up getting 250 metres in that game.
Just with Penrith, I think a lot of people haven't. They're obviously talking about the team as a whole, as premiership whole, but just haven't. They've sort of been flying under the radar. I mean, you always hear about the Roosters and the Storm and Broncos because of how
they're playing. There's not a whole lot of talk about them being a genuine threat, but if they keep rolling through people like they are, the young kid Charlie Steyn scored two more tries before going off. I think he went off fairly. I think he might have been in
27 minutes. He went off.
It was about then, and he'd already scored two tries. He had a hamstring injury, and his night was over. So that's a pretty good paycheck. Come in, score two tries, play 26 minutes, and I'm just gonna kick back for a while.
Again, that pub up at Forbes must be ruining.
I hope they weren't giving away their free beers again.
No, they said every time you play, they'll do it for the rest of the year, they said. So
go out of business.
Yeah, they're seriously gonna go out of business. But yeah, I mean they're sitting first for a reason. They are playing phenomenally well. They look the goods. They just look the goods.
Right. And not to be a negative Nancy, but you just hope that sides like that and Parramatta haven't peaked too early.
I'll talk about Parramatta in the next game, but I don't think Penrith have peaked personally. I think they've got more of them. But
that's right. But as a team, do you know what I mean? Like if they they fly high and then all of a sudden once we start get to round 18, round 19, round 20, they may string together a couple of poor performances. That starts to get in your head a little bit. Then the finals come around. You could be if they're in the top four, they could be two losses and their season's done.
The Eels played the next game against the Bulldogs and just scraped in with them in 18-16. They won and that keeps them in the top four, but they just didn't look they didn't look great in that game. I guess for where they're sitting in the top four.
No, that's right. Yeah, top three. Top four side if you look at it ladder wise against the cellar dwellers, but obviously Canterbury with that great win last week. Look, under Steve Georgiou, Canterbury have looked great.
Yeah.
Aiden Tolman.
Not a name that has been thrown around. So
no, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Aiden Tolman has been massive for them. Look, Parramatta got off to the good start. Three tries in the first 30 odd minutes, and that was it. They just take the foot off the pedal. Yeah, the Canterbury come out in the second half, high complete, same sort of game plan as last week. Don't beat yourself. Yeah. High completion rate, good kicking game. Kieran Foran has really taken control of that side. Halves wise and kicking wise, and he's showing you the class of player that he is when he's healthy and on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting what's going to happen with Kieran Foran. He knocked back he's on 800 grand a year, and he knocked back a cut price offer of 1 year for 400 grand, which, understandably, that's half of what he was getting. So, of course, he's going to knock it back. But he's really playing, I guess if the Bulldogs don't sign him, it's like he's on his contract year, like we talk about with the NBA. He's playing
he's on a contract
extremely
year.
Well for his contract year. You're right. He's easily the standout on that side.
Aiden Tolman are fueling those guys going forward. So they scored quickly to start off that second half. Like I said, Tolman was massive, but also Tolman was a little bit of a villain in this game for them as well. Like it was 18-16. I think there was still I think 17 minutes to go. Instead of taking the nice, easy 2 points with a penalty to make it 18 all, he decides to tap and run.
Yeah.
And they don't get the result from it. And essentially they lose by that 2 points you think would have been a given.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a mistake, but I guess for him, he can be forgiven for making that mistake. He's been massive for them. The Avarillo leaping try was unreal. There's memes out there now that he's turning into a frog. So, that was ridiculous. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, It's just amazing, like, what wingers can do now. It's absolutely insane.
Since they've taken out the corner post.
Exactly. Exactly what I was going to say. I love that they've taken that out.
It's awesome.
It should have never.
The corner post is four hours for the ball.
I love seeing the corner post because it's always been like an NRL, a rugby league, I guess, thing for the whole time. But I love that it's not part of, that you couldn't touch it before because it really was just
the ball. The ball is still classed as it, the ball hits it.
That's right.
So in the act of scoring a try or, off a kick or anything like that, that's fair enough. But the person hitting it, it's great.
So you can actually do these acrobatic sort of tries. Exactly. That's crazy. You couldn't do that before.
No.
But yeah, it was insane. I look at the Parramatta Eels sort of trying to get him behind, and he's literally jumping a foot over him, nearly a foot. It was ridiculous.
No, that's right. It takes me back a little bit to that to the grand final in 2004 against the Roosters, where we had the Lebanese leaping frog in Hazim El Masri that scored that try, where he pretty much jumped over the top of like three defenders of the Roosters and scored that try in the second half. Yeah, that's sort of going back to 2004, but that's when they started calling him a bit of a leaping frog. That sort of jarred the memory a little bit about remembering that, and a bit of a shout out to Brett Fowler, who him and I come up with the Lebanese leaping frog. So that was pretty funny on grand final day in 2004. But that try was crazy. And that could have been the same thing a couple of weeks ago with Blake Ferguson, but he didn't end up granting the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
People turned that into a meme as well.
The final game was the Storm and the Knights at a packed Sunshine Coast Stadium, depending on who you talk to, but it was packed.
Well, 5,400 people there, I guess you can call that packed.
In the eyes of the social media world, anything that looks like they're close together is packed. But anyway, Melbourne, it was, again, probably another class thing. They, I guess for the Knights, they were in it, but it was probably just a class thing at the end. That's how I sort of seen it anyway.
This was a game that I'd sort of hope that Newcastle could sort of stand up and be counted a little bit as a, not so much a genuine premiership threat, but somebody who could scare people. The games that they've had so far against quality oppositions, they've been ordinary at best.
Yeah.
So I thought this game they were a lot better. Once again, left themselves with too much to do at the end.
Yep.
Even without Cameron Smith, who has gone off with an AC joint injury, possibly 2 to 3 weeks out. Melbourne will do it tough though without him. They've only got the New Zealand number 9 to slot in there at dummy half for him. So Melbourne will do it tough without Cameron Smith for a bit.
In saying that, it's regardless of how many quality players they still have on the bench, it's his leadership that's gonna.
Oh no, absolutely.
They're gonna miss his leadership big time.
For sure. Look, a frantic start to that game as well. Yeah. Like, two tries in the first 10 minutes to sort of offset each other. You thought Newcastle were up for it. Bradman Best had another good game. He's having a lot more good games than what he's had bad. I think he's got a bright future there.
I thought the same thing. I think he's only 18, which I thought he was a lot older, but he's only 18 years old, which is absolutely ridiculous. But I think he looks a good. He's on a small, like he's 103 kilos.
He's a brick.
Yeah, and he's fine because he's only 5'11", so he's an absolute brick of a guy. The good thing, I guess, for Newcastle, they've seen the well he played in that first game, and they signed him through till 2022. So he's
they see the class in him. So it's good for them to sort of wrap him up.
I think it was great. He is a boom sort of young center. He'll probably be in that New South Wales development squad.
Absolutely.
I just It was a class, but it was, again, Pappenhausen. He
how good was that try? That pickup, 90 meters. Good God.
It's ridiculous how Melbourne can do this, but it's turning into he's literally turning into a Billy Slater, which sounds ridiculous.
Well, you know, and Billy Slater has got a lot to do with him. Yeah. And his development, like he's consulting with him a lot. So, yeah. You know, it's only natural that those fullback and those Billy Slater traits are starting to rub off on him.
Yeah, he just it's sensational from that one, I guess, the breakout year last year and how he's just gone from strength to strength. It's absolutely crazy what I guess he.
And only a certain type of player can do the things that Billy Slater can do. And it looks like this kid. For sure. Can do that. Like, you know, not everyone can be in that mold and play the way that Billy did. But yeah, he absolutely looks like that. He can, yeah, that he's got the skill and the talent to be able to do similar things like Billy could.
It's that elusiveness. That's the difference between Billy Slater, like, speed and other players. Speed and elusiveness. But speed, yeah, you can't train speed, but just getting away or being elusive and not. Players can't tackle you. Yeah, speed definitely, but the elusiveness to get away from players.
Yeah, it's having that spider syndrome. That's what it is. Make it look like you got spiders on you. Nobody wants to tackle you.
So that was all the games from round 12. Round 12 was also the Indigenous round this year. This year.
Nobody's really paying much attention.
No, of course not.
To 2020, like this. Yeah, this has been a dog year.
I just feel like it's so late to say it, but it is this year.
No, that's right.
So we thought we'd, sort of talk about, just in the Indigenous round, our favourite Indigenous player of all time and probably the current favourite Indigenous player of the current NRL squads.
Yeah, look, there's a good lot of Indigenous players that's running around at the moment. You know, the likes of Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker. James Roberts, those type of guys that are running around at the moment. Josh Adokar. There's tons of talent getting around. But you know, for me, the player that I like to watch the most is probably Cody Walker. Like just a naturally gifted, you know, ball runner. You know, he's quick, he's smart, like he's just a footballer. You know. Contradictory is what it is, you know, he plays football, but he's just got that nous about him, and you know, when he's on, yeah, he's one of those guys that, yeah, that definitely gets that spider syndrome as well. You can't tackle him.
Yeah, exactly. And he not only he's got that in his game, which is always good, but he's also got a great kicking game, a very good kicking game he's on.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a good left boot on him. And that's even he sort of stood up, definitely stood up this week, you know, in the absence of Adam Reynolds. You know, that might be a little bit of recency bias, but yeah, you go back to him, and I'm pretty sure he had his first shot at the Gold Coast and didn't really sort of take it with both hands. And now that he's sort of been down at South and been in that system for a little while, I think Wayne Bennett's helping him along as well. So you know, that's only going to be positive. For him.
Yeah. You mentioned one of my current favourites, and it's from the Melbourne Storm, is Josh Adokar. It's just when he's got – well, it's purely because of that nickname, the Fox. When he's got the ball and he's got broken field play, it is absolutely amazing watching how quick and how – just he just busts through the middle. It's crazy.
He's a gazelle when he runs. Like it's unreal. Yeah. He's just – it's crazy.
It's probably a metre and a half step per run. Like every step is a meter and a half.
And he's not the biggest lad
out
there. Like he's just long stride. You're not catching him. You're absolutely not catching him.
No. He's it's just brilliant watching him in the open play. It's so good watching him in the open play.
Would love to see him represent Australia at the end of the year because
he's absolutely
one of the best wingers in the game.
Yeah, I think he definitely has a chance. I don't see why he couldn't make it really. So, moving on to our all-time favorite Indigenous player, We'll start with you.
Well, you might have dropped
the clue by saying who your favourite side is anyway, but...
No, well, I mean, yeah, it's to me, and like we were sort of discussing earlier today, it's not even close to who, like, my favourite, yeah, he's pretty much my favourite player ever, besides Wally Lewis, like Matty Bowen. Like, I love the King. He was the reason why I turned into a Gold Coast Seagulls fan. Yeah, much to sort of, you know, the pain and detriment of, you know, my well-being as a kid. But Matty Bowen he's one of those guys that I loved watching play up here. Yeah, what he did at State of Origin level, he played one test. He always got me on my feet. Just love watching Matty play. You know, his combination with Thurston up here, but even before JT got up here, like just watching him running around the number one. You know, he's the Cowboys' all-time try scorer at 130 tries for the Cowboys. Just always got me excited to see him run around in the number one up here. There'll never be another one like him. I met him at the Mount Isa Airport 2 years ago. Sort of bombed him a little bit with a little bit of admiration, but you know, sort of, you know, bombed him with a little bit of you know, trivia, I guess, about himself and everything, and I got a picture taken with him and stuff. So it was really cool to sort of, you know, meet him and sort of have a good chat. He loves his basketball as well. We had a really good chat about that. It was in the midst of, you know, Golden State's championship runs there. So yeah, we had a really good talk at the Mount Isa Airport just about that. So yeah, I felt really privileged to sort of, you know, have a good, you know, talk to him. But he knows his stuff. Like he knew a lot about the NBA, and we sort of talked about Patty Mills and stuff like that as well. But I was really taken by him and you know, his knowledge of football, you know, his knowledge about other sports. And it was really amazing to meet him out there. So yeah, absolutely, Matthew Bowen, yeah, favorite Indigenous player, and yeah, pretty much, yeah, on par with Wally Lewis as my favorite player of all time.
Mine's again from a previous Melbourne player, and it's Greg Inglis. For me, he revolutionized to me like the center position and just what a center could do.
But he was so multifaceted there at the Storm. Correct. As well. He was a center, fullback, 5'8". He's a premiership winning 5'8".
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was, I mean, his record speak, you're right. He's a premiership winning 5'8". He's got Dally M 5'8 of the year. He's got Dally M fullback of the year, Dally M center of the year. So
he's good.
He's a different beast of a player because, and he's always had this in his game. In his personal life, his weight's fluctuated every year. But that hasn't deterred. Strong. But that doesn't never ever deterred him in any year of how he plays.
But yeah, it's never really stopped him. Like, it's not as if he got unathletic.
No. That's right. And that's the difference. That's what I'm saying. Like, he can move around to these positions freely. And a fullback, and I'm not saying you're gonna be like a Billy Slater or Pappenhausen size, but they're generally not big, bulky. Like, he could play, and he's big enough to play second row. But he was able to play in the centers.
That's right.
Representing Queensland, representing Australia, it's funny. So like his record, just when he's on the field, this is another thing I look back on. When he's on the field for every side, so when he's playing NRL, his career wins is 65%. When he's playing State of Origin, his record 70%. When he's playing for Australia, his record is 89% win ratio. So
he gets better the bigger the moment,
basically. Yeah, and he's just, yeah, it's, I've always been enamored, like, how such a guy that could play any, literally any position, how well he can play in any position, Literally, he could probably play front row for all we know.
He stands up in the moment too, and it kind of sucks that sort of injury crippled him at the end of his career. But it looks like he's going to be rejuvenated a little bit over in the Super League. So that's going to be a positive. Can't wait to see him run around over there at in England. They actually started back up this previous weekend. So, that's good to see that the Super League is back up and running over in England. So that's a positive for rugby league overseas. So that's a terrific thing.
Unfortunately, to be without the Toronto Wolfpack, who basically said they can't. They're coming from they're technically coming from Toronto anyway, but unfortunately they won't participate in this season. Which, in saying that, just because it sort of came out later, then obviously SBW and everyone's trying to get him to the Roosters and all that. There's also a couple of players.
Essentially, a done deal, isn't it?
Well, essentially it is, but there's also people are questioning, and there's a player Melbourne are chasing that I can't think of his name off the top of my head now, but he's in exactly the same situation. He can't play for Toronto. He's stuck in England, and Melbourne have already been rejected his contract, but then they've put through, well, why can't you just, SBW's contract's going through.
That's right.
You can't just set a precedent. But it's good. It is good for England to have rugby league over there because, the Premier League has just finished, but unfortunately it's going to start straight up again because
they're just going to go at it again. Like the FA Cup final was over the weekend, and I guess sort of congratulations to Arsenal on winning that.
Yeah.
They got a bit of a knack. Yeah, I know you can roll your eyes. If it's not residing in Manchester, I'm not real happy. So.
Friends with colour.
Nah, well we all know the right colour there. So it's
red.
Yeah, no, it's definitely sky blue. So it's it'll be the only time that I'll ever cheer anybody in sky blue. So we'll just get that out there.
So we'll finish up with our studs and duds of the week. Your stud of the week.
Look. As I sort of alluded to earlier on, my start of the week is Dynasty Sports and their inferior making of jerseys, which gifted Cronulla the first try of the game.
So your start of the week, sorry.
My start of the week, baby. That's my start of the week.
My God.
Making those inferior products. Hey, that's getting Cronulla the win by any means necessary. And if it means making shoddy collars on their jerseys, then that's what they'll do. Because I guarantee you that stitching is going to be a little bit looser the next lot of jerseys they make.
Well, that was the Indigenous jersey too, so I don't think it would have been.
Still made by the same company.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's. I guess that's true.
Cronulla's in the business of winning football games. Dynasty Sports are in the business of of making jerseys. It's a match made in heaven.
That's it. I was going to say, if it was Cowboys, I'd understand if you were bitter, but you don't sound bitter, so I don't get it. But anyway.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
My start's just the Warriors. I know just because they got a win, but they just impress. They are the only side still that have not gone home and have family. Right. It's unfortunate, but... And it's probably more of a testament to Todd Payne and all the players there. But, the Warriors, they fully deserve to win that game. They're in every game, which is probably the different thing, except for it comes at the start Melbourne and that. They are in every game, which is great.
That's right. They're showing a little bit of defensive resilience. They're sticking together as a team, like you said. They're based on the I was going to say the Sunshine Coast and on the Central Coast. They must be getting some really good bonding there. Bringing them all together as a team, and like you said, that's a testament to Todd Payton as well, because with a few results that they had not go their way and being spanked by a couple of teams, they could have dropped their bundle. And this could have been, the longest 11 weeks, 12 weeks of their life. But they're making a go of it. They're showing effort. Yeah, they've got a superstar there in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. They're just, yeah, they're sort of, they're checking the boxes. And I think, yeah, I think they're giving Todd Payton, you know, a really good resume go out there and to be a sought after coach with a few coaching jobs that could be coming up soon.
Your dud of the week?
It's a dual dud. And once again, like we alluded to in the Gold Coast game, the two sin binnings, like Brian Kelly and Keegan Hipgrave, I can't get past it. They're just at horrible moments of the game when the Gold Coast looking like they're building a little bit of momentum, especially the Brian Kelly one. Like, that was brutal. Like, there's just no need for him to hang an arm out and pull Joseph Manu back. Yeah, in that – he was so early on it and yanked him back. He was lucky it wasn't a penalty try, that there was, you know, there was covering defense coming over to clean up the ball. Mm-hmm. It just – it's not needed. If you know, they want to win games, but they're just in key moments of the game, they're just letting themselves down. They just didn't need that. They were going so well, you know, especially against the Roosters. Yeah, you know, okay, that they're injury decimated, but that they're still a premiership threat. And it was at the Sydney Cricket Ground. You know, the Gold Coast aren't at home. Like, they just, to be in the game where they were, how they were playing, and just to let those little lapses go, you just can't do that, especially against a side like the Roosters. But you can't keep doing these things. You know, you're in games. You can't beat yourselves.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah,
they could take a leaf out of the Bulldogs' book.
My dud, and it's hard. It's not against this player. It's probably against the organization for what, I guess, why they did it. But my dud is Kalyn Ponga. Not so much the guy himself, because he still produces 80 minutes, 183 minutes. But is he justifying what he's signed?
Not this year.
No, he's not this year. So, and I don't think that's against him, because, you know, that was what it was laid out. It's, you know, his management did it smart and said, oh, you know, the All Blacks are chasing me. So it's just that kind of money, I guess, for it. He's still young. He is a fullback, so he can change the game. I just don't feel like that's the kind of, if they're going to play well against a team like Melbourne, he's only 22, but if they're a team that's going to go forward, he's going to have to be that game breaker, that guy that steps up, you know, because that's what he's getting paid.
I think it's just development, I think. Like, you know, we all know the skills that he's had. Well, you know, we all know the skills that he's got. It's just development and not being predictable. That's the thing. You know, we know he's got the footwork. You know, he's got the little goose step. But it's putting those moves on at the right time. And it's not being, you know, one-dimensional, two-dimensional. Like, he's got to be... Yeah, he's unfortunately, and it's a lot of pressure to put on him. But he's got to be that.
Yeah,
stud
that's right.
In that team, yeah, no, absolutely has to be.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's unfair pressure because I mean, he did sign the contract.
Pay packet is the pressure.
The pay packet is the pressure. So, and that's just the way it is. He if you get paid that kind of money, you've got to be the guy that has got to win these games against these big sides. So,
ask Ash Taylor.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's interesting that no one's really talking about Ponga yet. They probably will later down the track, but no one really, you know, I guess that he'd sort of gone by the wayside of, he's making all this money and he's getting great meters, but he's also not changing games. Like a Lockyer. He needs to be like a Lockyer who can change game of fullback and then progressively probably move to the 5-8. That's what he needs to do.
That's right, yeah. He's sort of shown that, you know, even that last year under Nathan Brown, that he's not quite developed as a playmaker, you know, to be in the halves.
No, definitely not.
But that's what I mean. You know, Lockie moved to 5-8, you know, not so much later on in his career, but he was very much developed as a fullback. Adam O'Brien has sort of come out and not so much taken the blame, but, you know, he's more of a defensive-minded coach. he's preaching that there. So he's sort of taking a little bit of blame when it comes to the development of Kalyn Ponga. He doesn't think he's doing enough. The coach himself is not quite doing enough to make him develop into a next level superstar. You know, one of the best players in the game, not just being a genuine superstar, but being that next level guy.
That's right. And that's what he has to be. I mean, and that's not just to justify, but he's 22 and he's already played for Queensland, which was at 21. So there's no reason why he can't be one of the best players in the game if he gets a development. So
that's right.
It's unfair pressure, yeah, but I mean, this is when you get that kind of money. That's unfortunately that's what you've got to do
at that age, and that's the thing. At that age, he could have very much taken, you know, a pay cut to stay one more year with the Cowboys. Waited until they freed up the money with JT leaving, then they could have thrown, you know, a bucket load of cash at him. It didn't happen. He wanted him and his father wanted the money now. Newcastle threw the money at them, and they took it. So that's what you do. Yeah,
the great thing that's right. But the great thing in Newcastle, it's like, I mean, if you've ever been there, it's a very laid back, like Townsville, like where I am in Mackay here. It's a very laid back sort of place anyway. It's a big city, but it's also
it's a one team town, and boy, they love their nights there.
But you can also go away and hire. You just go to the beach or whatever. So it's not like you're in the bubble city, like, you know, like your Sydney teams and that. So, I think it was a great move.
It's an amazing place. Yeah. Like, been there once. It's an amazing place.
Oh, I used to live there. It is an amazing place. You can fit in with everybody and no one seems to bother you. There's heaps to do there, but it's extremely laid back. So, I think that was one of the best signings they've done in years. I mean, Mitchell Pearce was another one, but that was definitely one of their best for a young guy.
That's right. Yeah, for a kid to go there after having two first grade games at the Cowboys.
That's right. He's justified. Justified his contract. He just needs that. Probably what you said. He just needs that development more, and that's possibly Adam O'Brien to more offensive development at least.
Yeah,
and possibly Mitchell Pearce. I mean, there's no reason why he can't develop him as well. I don't know if he is, but he should be. He's another player that could help his development.
But that's the thing that he could use. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like we said before with Ryan Pappenhausen, you know, he's got Billy Slater in his ear a lot. Like, you know, Kalyn Ponga could possibly use, you know,
Kurt
somebody.
Gidley.
Robbie O'Davis.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You know, the former players, Mark Hughes. You know, somebody like that, you know, a legend of the team. Yeah, Mark Hughes probably not the greatest example, but you know what I mean. You know, Mark Hughes played fullback there, but yeah, you know, somebody like a Robbie O or a Kurt Gidley, somewhere like that, he's played a lot of fullback and just to sort of get in his ear and you know, help him along.
Yep. Well, that'll do it this week for the NRL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook is Final Play Podcast. Quick shout out to, because I never remember to shout them out, but I will shout out this time to gimco.com.au. If you're into trading cards, which I know my other co-hosts are definitely into trading cards, I know you are. Get all your trading cards, but it's a big shout out to them because they didn't have to put our podcast on there, but they have, which has been graciously well accepted. Also, obviously Spotify, Podbean, and SoundCloud, which, as we just found out from SoundCloud, we are 1 year officially over the podcast.
Not too bad. 78 pods, 1 year.
Yeah.
You know. Good thing we semi like each other. Otherwise, you know, this might not have lasted so long. So
this could be terrible. 77 sports podcasts and one movie podcast. So
and one movie
doing
pod,
pretty
one
good.
Movie pod. Well,
still,
I
love
70,
that one.
76, a movie pod and a sports entertainment pod.
Yeah, that's true. No, we did do a sports. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, forgot about that one. Still sports. Well, sports entertainment.
Well, it's sports and entertainment collaboration.
But if in saying that, if you're listening and you want to hear something different, if it doesn't, I mean, we obviously love sports, but if you want to hear something else, feel free to message us on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll we'll do our best in trying to give you the best info that we can. And if we sound shit, then we won't do it. But thanks to everyone out there that sort of supported us over the last year. It's very much greatly appreciated. And hopefully another 12 months will pass us by. And we're coming up to 100 pods soon, so we might try and do something a little bit out of the ordinary for the century. Yeah. So we'll see how we go. Yeah, obviously that'll probably spring up on us fairly soon with the NBA and NFL coming back soon. So that could be sooner than we think.
We usually start pumping out two or three a week when the other American sports start kicking into gear.
They're back. Well, I mean, the NBA's back, so.
Well, the NFL looks like they're on their track to be back as well.
Yeah, it's sort of looking at we don't want to sort of get into any sort of any BS, but it looks like America as a whole might actually be getting the virus under control. Sort of looked like it was spiraling out of control very quickly there. So obviously Major League Baseball over there, they're not doing so great. It's different with the NFL because they play once a week, like rugby league, it's once a week, so not as much travel. That could be their saving grace, but I guess we'll see when it's all said and done. If they get going, I think it's the 12th of September, I think, is the start of the NFL season. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see. That's only less than 6 weeks away.
Well, that'll do it. My name's Jason. Final play, Smith.
My name's Miles. Can't wait for the NFL season. Plum. And
when you lose the NFL fantasy, that's what I can't wait for. Although you drafted very well, that's a whole different story to talk about.
That's true. I drafted one rookie,
Anyway. Oh no, we'll talk about that later. All right, have a good week, everyone. See ya.
See ya.